Let me welcome you all along to our time around the Word of God today. Thank you for logging in and joining with us. And we pray that the Lord will bless our study of God's Word and our time around His truth. Turn with me, please, for a short reading to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll commence reading at verse number 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succoured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much affliction, in patience, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honour and dishonour, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. We'll end our reading here at verse 10, and with the word of God read and open before us, let's unite our hearts in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity today to attend unto the Word of God. We thank thee for this book by inspiration given. And we pray that thou, the Holy Spirit, the inspirer of the book, will come to our aid and help as we seek to proclaim its message. And across the internet, we pray that thou wilt speed and bless this message to the saving of precious souls for whom the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died. Grant me that divine infilling with thy power today, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart find acceptance in thy sight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our time around God's word, I would like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. The latter part, very especially. It says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are many days, of course, important days that are mentioned in the Bible, the Word of the Living God, which have reference both to man and to God. These days in God's Word are singled out for special attention, and they're given special significance. Mankind's days are all encompassed between the day of one's birth and the day of one's death, and between coming into life and our exit from life. There are many days that characterize our pilgrimage here. There are days of rejoicing, and there are days of sorrowing. There are days of feasting, and there are days of fasting. There are days of battle, and there are days of blessing. We understand something of what the ancient patriarch Job wrote when he said, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Many are the troublesome days that we have on the journey of life. There are equally many important days which are denoted as especially belonging to the Lord in the Bible. Man has his day, but God signifies his own special days in his own holy word. In the Old Testament, there was the Day of Atonement. That was a very special day in the calendar of ancient Israel. This was the day in which the nation knew that they were at peace with God through the sacrificial shed blood. The prophets constantly referred to the day of the Lord, or the day of the Lord's vengeance. It has been also referred to as the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when God shall bring all of man's days to a climax and to an end, and usher in the great and final judgment. And its final mention is given as the great day of God Almighty. All of man's days belong unto the Lord, but especially the great and final day, the day of God Almighty, when the books are opened and when the records will be reviewed. This phrase, the day of, it is used in the Bible some 300 times, and it refers to all the different types of days of to which we've alluded. Days that belong to man, days that belong to the Lord. But twice over in our text, I want to use with you in our time around God's word, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, it is used to denote a very special day for mankind. Above all other days, it's the day of salvation. We can rejoice, men and women, that we have not as yet reached the day of vengeance or the day of God's wrath, but we are still living in that which God the Holy Ghost describes as the day of God's salvation. It's truly amazing that there is a salvation which is so important and so significant that it gives its name to a whole period of time. By way of eminence, by way of distinction, it is called the Day of Salvation. The salvation which is the hallmark of this day is the salvation of the immortal souls of men and women. So let me re-emphasize again, you and I, in this day that we live in, we are living in the day of grace, we're living in the day of gospel opportunity, or to put it in the words of our text, we are living in the day of God's salvation. This is the good news. The good news is that this is the day in which your soul can be saved and be made ready to meet a thrice holy God. And out of all other days, God picks this day as the one in which you can prepare to meet him and be ready when his call for you to leave time and enter into eternity actually happens. So today, very simply, I want to reconsider with you once again what God has to say about the day of salvation. And all our other days, I believe, the Bible teaches us they turn on this one day, the day in which we can be saved. So firstly, consider with me that it is the gospel of Christ which provides this day. It's always good to read the context of any passage in the Word of God or any text in the Word of God to understand the truth of it better. And as we read the closing verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we begin to understand clearer how that day, the day of salvation, was brought to its birth. Let me read those great verses with you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19 to 21. We read that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The day of salvation, the Bible teaches us, was made possible through the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had to be manifest in the flesh in order to reconcile the world unto himself. When the angels sang Christ's praises at his birth over the plains of Judea at Bethlehem, they were ushering in the dawn of a new day right across the world. But we ought to more particularly notice him on whom the work of salvation is devolved, who is described by the name of our Saviour, to whom the honour of it will ever be rendered. So this day of salvation, is called after our Saviour, our great Deliverer, who came in human flesh into this world to save all those that will believe in him. This day was provided through the substitution of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 teaches us that he was made sin, or the sin offering for us. And here we see that his birth led to his death. And all the way to Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ went for sinful men and women. And there on the cross of Calvary, he was made the great sin offering for us. He was our sin offering. He was our substitute on that center tree. That day could not have come but through the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he knew no sin. That is wonderful. Many world religions can point to their earthly founders and leaders, but as Christians, we point to the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, who came in human flesh into this world, and he knew no sin. No one else could ever say that. Of no one else that could ever be said, for we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But of Christ alone it could be said that he knew no sin. He was the spotless, perfect Lamb of God. This is the day of salvation. It's his day. And he came as the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. The day of salvation is also one of imputation, because we're told he was made the righteousness of God in him. What a great exchange took place at Calvary. We marvel at it. God took our sins and imputed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He reckoned them as belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ, through his death, paid all that was demanded by God's law by way of a penalty because of that sin. But inversely, God took the righteousness of Christ and he imputed it to our account. And today we are accepted in the Beloved. We are made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ we are accepted before Almighty God today. The day of salvation is also one of reconciliation. As ambassadors for Christ, we are called to declare to a world that is at variance with God. We're called to say, be ye reconciled to God. Those who are living in enmity, those who are living in rebellion, as gospel preachers, we're called to say to men and women, boys and girls and young people, living in rebellion, don't go on in your rebellion, but be ye reconciled to God. This is the message that we're called to proclaim to the lost in the world in which we live in. There are many who try to reconcile man with man and without being reconciled with God. And you know, whilst that's laudable in and of itself, the Bible teaches us that once men are truly at peace with God, then they will want to be at peace with their neighbours. So we are called to be peacemakers, but we are called primarily to call men and women to be at peace with God. Let me ask you today, are you at peace with God? Is your soul reconciled to him through faith in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting in him for the saving of your soul? Because this is the message that we as a church have been called to proclaim in this, the day of God's wonderful salvation. Secondly, notice with me the gracious benefits bestowed throughout this day. The day of salvation is rich with blessing. It is a day for which we thank the Lord. In this day, God has promised to hear our prayers. In verse 2 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the opening part, it says, I have heard thee in a time accepted. You know, it's absolutely amazing that God hears the prayers of penitent sinners, that God, for the sake of his dear Son, is pleased to grant unto those who are least deserving of it his mercy, his pardon, his cleansing. And that he does so when the penitent soul calls upon him for mercy and pardon. I love those words of the psalmist. We love to sing them in the worship of God. Lord, from the depths to thee I cry, my voice, Lord, do thou hear. It is a wonderful biblical truth that God hears the prayer of the penitent, repenting sinner. I want you to notice that God offers the answer to the prayer in the day of salvation. It is now, it is today. God says if you call upon him today, he will hear and answer your prayer. Tomorrow is never promised. Another occasion is never granted. Even as you're listening my voice, wherever you are, God says, if you call upon me, I will answer you. That is his promise to us today. None of us can boast of ourselves of tomorrow, but the Bible teaches us that today is the day of salvation. Romans 10:13, if today you call upon the name of the Lord, you can be saved. I want to say again to the unconverted that are listening to me, you have only today. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have another moment. You have this moment. The present time is the only time to call upon the Lord for mercy and to call upon the Lord for grace. And what a blessing it is that no matter where you are, be it at home or be it abroad, no matter where you are, if you call today upon the Lord for mercy, he will hear you. Oh, I urge you, do not throw away this another gospel opportunity. Do not waste another time in which God has given you grace to seek him while he is to be found and to call upon him. It is this day, the day of salvation, where help is offered to needy sinners. What does it say? In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Now many believe that this is a reference to Christ and the days of his earthly humiliation. In the days of his flesh he was helped. But I think there is still an application for needy sinners. For without the help and the succour of God the Holy Spirit, we would all still have been out in the mountains, wild and bare and far from the tender shepherd's care. We often sing Joseph Hart's hymn. And one of the verses say, let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, this he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. the work of God, the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of the work of God, the Holy Spirit, in hearts and lives, is to give sinners a sense of their need of Christ, to show them the awfulness of their sin, to show them the lostness of their estate, and that without God they are lost for all of the Lord's eternity, and to draw them to the Saviour. Have you ever known that in your life? Let me ask you that question. Have you ever had serious thoughts about eternity and to where your soul will spend that great eternity? This is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. Has your mind been troubled about salvation? Then we can say, you have been helped. We're still in the day of salvation. And in the day of salvation, this day of opportunity, God, the Holy Spirit, is at work taking the word, blessing the word, applying the word to hearts and to lives. Another blessing is that coming sinners will be accepted. Behold, now is the accepted time. If you come to God, he'll not reject you. He couldn't, whoever you may be, because God in Christ has made us accepted in the Beloved. Those well-known words of John 6:37 are worth repeating yet again. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This day, this very day, this day of salvation, you can find acceptance before the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and be accepted before God in him. Fourthly, would you notice with me the eternal good which is done in this day of salvation? Though it's termed but a day, the good which is done in it is eternal. And this is reference to the eternal salvation of our soul. We have but a day here, this side of eternity, to get right with God. But the saving of the soul is not just for that day. The saving of the soul is for all of God's eternal day. And if you're to be saved for God's eternity, it must be here and now that the great transaction will be done. Saved in a moment of time, but for all of God's eternity. Some of you have listened to this message from Sunday school, from childhood days, and yet despite all of the death that surrounds us in this day of coronavirus pandemic all over the world, you're still not saved. But God calls you today, and he draws you today, and he's given you another opportunity today to trust in his Son for salvation. And I'm so glad that this day, eternal good, can be done for your soul. There is encouragement here, I think, for weary laborers in the work of God. Whatever you and I are doing, let's do it for eternity. Always labor with eternity's values in view. And let's press on with the work, because our work is for eternity. Although God has just given us a set period of time to do our work, the value of our work will outlast our short time and will be for all of God's eternity. Let us act as those who believe that time is short, such as the accepted time, such as the day of salvation, a very brief but a very precious season to do good. Oh, the eternal good, dear unsaved one, that can be done on your soul today. And the eternal good, dear Christian, that you and I can do for God in this, the day of salvation. Finally, let us consider that death and the grave brings to an end the day of salvation. The opportunity to close in with salvation, the opportunity to trust in Christ, it's not extended beyond death. There are no second chances. You will win heaven today in the day of salvation, or you will lose it for all of God's eternity. There are many, and they have, as it were, banked their hopes on a deathbed conversion. But look around us, men and women, thousands are dying around us at our side, and they were given no hope of a deathbed conversion, no opportunity of a deathbed conversion. These are serious times in which we live in. Do not delay for a moment, for nothing is gained by delay. God's terms will not change. It is repent and believe the gospel. God's offer of salvation will not change, and how you can be saved through grace and through the offer of salvation through Christ will not change. Those things will not change. Why are you delaying? Your own circumstances will not make it any easier. As men and women go on in life, it has been shown to be the case time and time again that it does not become any easier to come to Christ. I'd say to all of the young people listening in, come to Christ in tender years. And yet I said to the older ones listening in, if you haven't as yet come to Christ, it's still the day of salvation and opportunity. Embrace the day, even now, your day of salvation could be coming to an end. What if God was to say, as he said to that rich farmer all those years ago, today thy soul shall be required of thee? What if God today called you to answer in heaven's courts for what you've done with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? You'd stand before him, and what will you say? I'll tell you what you'll say. You'll say nothing. When we stand before God, we'll say nothing. And if you stand before him outside of Christ, you'll stand in the place of the condemned for all of the Lord's eternity. Do not forfeit your day of salvation. Do not waste it. Do not throw it away, because none of us know how quickly it all will end. Oh, I urge you to come to faith in Christ this very moment, this very hour, this very day. There has been much said about the day in which we live in. The term unprecedented has been used on multiple occasions to describe it. But I'm telling you about the day of God's salvation. This is the day we live in. Even though we're living in the day of COVID-19, we're living in the day still of God's salvation. May you lift your heart to God today in faith and seek him for his mercy and for his grace. And the Bible says, if you come now, what a promise, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. This is your day of salvation. I urge you to trust Christ in it and to seek him for mercy and pardon. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, and let us pray as we bring our time around God's word to an end. Heavenly Father and eternal Lord, we thank thee that we're still living in the day of grace, the day of salvation, the day of gospel opportunity. And I pray that thou will bless these simple words today to the hearts and lives of all who have listened to them. And those that know thee not as their own and personal Saviour, may they seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. And for the Lord's people, we pray that you'll help us to be up and doing in this the day of salvation, as ambassadors of Christ, calling this world that's in rebellion to God to be reconciled to him. So bless thy word and sanctify it by thy Spirit to the hearts and lives of all who hear it. Be with all until we meet again, or until Jesus comes or calls, in whose name I pray. Amen.